All right, so we're reading The Night by Eloise. My name is Anaya Webster.
Michaela Pittman.
Travis Parker.
And our project is about concentration camps.
All right, so the first thing I'll be talking about is deportation and transportation. It's mainly like how they got there and what happened while they were going there. So families, even whole communities, had to pack their belongings. Many had no clue of where they were going, no information at all. And here are some stories on what people experienced going to concentration camps. David, a Polish, he's a Jew, his age is 13. He said that it was crampled on the train, nowhere to sit. In order to make room, you had to stand with your hands above your head. And then another person named Mushi, age 17. It's nothing but darkness, nowhere to escape. Air only entered through cracks. We traveled for almost 24 hours with no food or water, but the feeling of getting split up from your families and the desire to see them again made you forget about everything else. Oh, and here's the picture. It's a picture showing like everybody gathered up and like how they just like had to all get up and gather up in one bunch to get ready to abort on the ride. Another thing I'm gonna be talking about is processing their routines, like basically things that they had to do during the concentration camps. So arriving at a concentration camp, men and women were separated. Children stand with their mothers. The prisoners had to strip their clothes and were usually given a striped uniform. They also had to shave their heads. This process was used to remove human dignity or personal identity. Anna, age 11, describing the effect of having her hair cut. I look around and I see young girls with scissors and clippers cutting hair off clean to the scalp. When the cold scissors touch my scalp and my hair slowly falls down, I can't help it. My tears fall down too. Another person was Jacob, age 17. He describes the clothing that he was given. From there, we went to the next room where we were handed a striped jacket, striped pants, wooden shoes, and a striped cap. And here's a picture of the clothing they had to wear. I feel like if I had to go do something like that, I'd probably run away, because I mean, I wouldn't want to have to wear the same clothes as everybody else. I wouldn't want to have my head shaved. It's very uncomfortable. Like, they went through a lot, like just being there, like, just for no reason. So I feel real bad for them. All right, another slide I'll be talking about is meals. For prisoners, meal times are the best times of the day. After their morning roll call, the prisoners would be given their morning meal. If they were lucky, they would find a piece of potato or a turnip peel. In the evening, prisoners may have been given a small piece of bread, or they could receive a tiny piece of sausage, margarine, or marmalade, or cheese. Now, that just sounds gross to me, because, like, I wonder if any of the food or the bell.
About the presentation.
While you're presenting, instead of just presenting?
We're following along. Right,
what he said. Okay, well, get it on the recording, then.
He's talking.
Work together.
Go ahead, Trey.
So what I was saying was, like, if you were to, like, be living somewhere and you couldn't, all right, if you were to be living somewhere and you had the desired meal plan for you, you couldn't eat what you want, and you'd probably be going through a lot. I'm pretty sure that the food that they were given was not good at all. I mean, tiny pieces of sausage don't even sound good. And bread doesn't even fill you up, so they probably were hungry all day. Another person who survived one of the concentration camps had something to say about what he remembered. What she remembered, Kitty Hart Moxon, a survivor of the concentration camp, remembers the high value placed on food and so much wanting to survive the camp, she would sometimes take the piece of bread from the body of someone who had died during the night. And I have pictures on what it looked like when they were eating and like how they had to gather up to get their food. Another slide that I have is the work that they had to do, type of things they did on the camp. Depending on the type of camp, prisoners were assigned to a whole range of different duties. Some remained inside with the camp working on variety of jobs, for administration tasks to heavy manual labor. Most prisoners worked outside at one of the many factories, construction projects, farms, or coal mines owned by German companies and for whom they now provided free slave labor. Other prisoners worked outside the camps during the construction work, farming, or working on coal mines. And I have pictures on the type of work that they did. Looks like they're cutting stuff down and just building stuff. And then I have another picture on when they're like mining during the coal. Looks like a lot of hard work, and they even had kids doing the stuff. Like, that's like torture. I wouldn't want to have to do that. It looks like dirty dust flying over where it looks like they couldn't even breathe out there. Like, how could they make somebody do that? Like, it's weird. I don't know, but yeah, man, I feel bad for them. And that's mainly the beginning on everything that they went through, everything they did, everything it took, what they had to eat.
Travis, you got this. You got this.
Oh. How did the prisoner survive during the concentration camps? For a prisoner, survival in the extreme conditions of concentration camps depended mainly on his ability to adapt and on great good luck. Now, I think that's important because, like, to live in a concentration camp, I mean, to be taken away from home, you would have to adapt, or some people wouldn't just make it. It's like living in a whole different type of community you don't know. It's just weird. Like, I wouldn't want to be around a whole bunch of guys that I didn't know, have to do stuff with them, because, you know, you probably couldn't even trust nobody back then. But yeah, and also as well as on his exhibitiveness and the support he received from higher ranking fellow inmates.
Okay, in my part of the presentation, I discussed different types of concentration camps, and then I added some of the people who were in them. So the first camp was Auschwitz, and it was created in 1940 and killed over 100 million Jews. So it killed nearly about 1.3 million Jews in just like one camp. Auschwitz was like the largest camp of 7 camps created to enforce slave labor and kill off Jews. So in this article titled Auschwitz that I got from history.com, it stated, Jewish people or other perceived enemies of Nazi state were exterminated, often in the gas chamber, and used as slave labor. And some prisoners were subjected to like barbaric medical practices that were led by Joseph Mengele, who was like one of the physicians in the concentration camp. Another concentration camp that I found was the Japanese internment camp. And this was created during World War II, but it was mainly to establish like a response to the bombing of Pearl Harbor. And this was like like the removing of Japanese Americans into a camp, fearing that like they might be loyal to their ancestors and something might spark up and happen, but it kind of backfired. In an article titled Japanese Internment Camps, it stated that military zones were created in California, Washington, and Oregon that had states with like large that were largely populated with Japanese Americans. And Roosevelt's execution order commanded the relocation of Americans with Japanese ancestors. So basically, he felt that they might have been threatened, you know, by like the Japanese Americans, but it was really not that big of a deal. So another one. Okay, so this is where I started talking about. Oh, in the for the first two slides, I forgot to mention the pictures. So for Auschwitz, I had showed like the concentration camp, and then I showed like the Jews that were behind the barbed wire. And then for the Japanese internment camps, I showed like the Japanese children and how they were being like deported to another country or something. But in the next part of my presentation, I did like people who were involved in like these concentration camps. So I did the leader of the Jewish concentration camp, which was Adolf Hitler. And I kind of gave like a little bit of background information and about how the like the how it came to be. Okay, so when Hitler was in prison for trying to overthrow the German government, he created a book titled My Struggle. This book sort of expressed like territorial expansion, consolidation of like a racially pure state, and the elimination of European Jews and other perceived enemies of Germany. Like, shortly after that, after he got free from his imprisonment, Hitler became, like, he began to seek political power. So he began using, like, propaganda techniques to gain followers. And after being issued the presidency, he began to, like, dismember Jews and force them into concentration camps. And that burned millions and enforced slave labor on, like, most of the Jewish population. And so in this slide, I included a picture of Hitler. So one of the physicians, and as you heard, the like leader of the barbaric practices was Joseph Mengele. And so I added a picture of him and him around like other physicians. So he joined the Nazi Party in 1937, and he earned his medical degree in 1938. Later on down the line, like, he became fascinated with science and racial hygiene. So most of his practices were nothing about more than just science. After he was promoted to chief camp physician at Auschwitz, Mengele became fascinated with using twins for medical practices through his mentor, I think that's how you pronounce his name. And Mengele and his mentor performed like a number of legitimate research protocols using twins as test subjects throughout the 1930s. But he later gained like the full license to maim and kill, you know, by I guess it was probably by Hitler. And so he performed like a vast amount of agonizing and lethal experiments with Jewish and Gypsy twins. And most of them were children. So, like, when he, like, documented all of these, it eventually caught up to him. And when the German authorities issued a warrant for his arrest in 1959, he fled to Brazil. After a decline in health, he suffered from a stroke and drowned in a vacation resort in 1979. So you know what they say about karma. In that one, I just included a picture of him. So the leader of the Japanese internment camps was Theodore Roosevelt. And he did this by through an execution order. And that was called, I guess, 9066. he feared that they could, like, they were, it was a possibility that they were, like, faithful to their ancestors, and he established concentration camps to be on the safe side. However, you know, back then, I don't think they probably had the 14th Amendment, but it went against it, like, that all born or naturalized in the U.S. are, like, U.S. citizens. So basically, he didn't really care.
For my portion of the project, I did comparisons, contrasts, compare and contrast. So, the Japanese and Jewish camp comparisons of the concentration camps. 1945, the camps ended, they imprisoned people. People at camps were treated unfairly. Unlike Americans, the Jews and Japanese got a chance to fight in the war. The camps in Germany were ran by Hitler. So basically, in the picture, I incorporated the information that I got it from. The difference between the camps. Okay, so the Japanese. America made the Japanese internment camps because of the bombing by the powerful. The Americans were afraid of the Japanese people were giving military secrets away. They were caught up in something called, basically, it's called war hysteria, basically war myths, where they got caught being messy between wars, selling information, and stuff like that. Another difference is Japanese people got to play baseball, knit, and grow flowers. So basically, they got a little bit more freedom than other people in the other concentration camps. In the other concentration camps, they follow, like, they follow more specific orders, like day-by-day rules and stuff like that they had to do. But in the Japanese camp, they had a little bit more freedom. It was less strict and revolved around what the leader of the camp wanted them to do. The Jews. The Jews' concentration camp ran by Hitler. He wanted only white people to be on the earth, so he set up camps to exterminate the Jews. All the people inside were slaves, and the Nazis worked them half to death. There wasn't enough food to go around. With there not being enough food to go around, people were dying basically from starving. They were dying from not having enough water, poor living conditions. So without killing his people in a harsh way, like they did in our book, like sending them to the death side and burning them alive, they just killed them by being underfed, not having enough water. Basically, yeah. So the picture I incorporated was some people, the Japanese American people with American flag with the concentration camps surrounded around. And the other picture is them inside eating the little food that was provided. Concentration camps. Comparisons between the Germans and Japan. Both were established during World War II. So, they established their camps to move their people because they felt like their people were in a danger zone. Basically, the danger zone was they were in the way of being hit by state that something was going on. They would be where the war was at. So they moved their people into the concentration camps to keep them safe, but moving them in the concentration camps, they still had strict rules that people had to apply by and certain ways that they was treating the people. So I feel like that there was no reason to move them in the concentration camps. They could have just let the people stay at home because they were still treated poorly and didn't get rid of a lot of freedom. In this slide is pictures of how the war looked and how the people looked from being underfed in concentration camps. The people gathered together to go to concentration camps. The difference between the German to Japanese American camp. Nazis and the Germans is the same thing. They're in our book. So Nazi concentration camps were not safe and most definitely was not with a purpose. They were used to hold and torture political opponents and organize the camp that initially had around 45,000 prisoners. And here's a picture of the prisoners, the dress code, basically the dress code that they had to apply by, what they had to wear, them entering the gates and coming. Japanese American internment camps were put into a place to protect their people, especially the ones that live in Washington, Oregon, Arizona, and California. The explanation for the orders was military necessary based upon the understanding of the fear that Japanese American or the West Coast could pose a threat to the national security in the war to Japan. So basically in the pictures is the people at the concentration camp for the Japanese side, them behind the gates, behind the little barbed wire gates, keeping them back, keeping them out of way, keeping them out of what they would consider harm's way, but was still putting their lives in danger. Little did they know. Okay, so this is about the concentration camps and how they kill. So all concentration camps killed people, all concentration camps lost people, but the rate in numbers was horrible. So Auschwitz concentration camp killed 11 million people from May 1940 to January 1945. I think it's pronounced Treblinka. Killed 800,000 people from July 23rd, 1942 to October 19th, 1943. I think that's how you pronounce that too. Killed 600,000 people from March 17th of 1942 to the end of June of 1943. Chenimo, however you pronounce that, killed 32,000 people from December 8th, 1941 to March 1943. Many people died of starvation. Okay, so how they died? Many of the people died from starvation because they didn't have enough food, and others died of disease. They wasn't in the best living condition. The living condition they was in was very poor. They were hardly in toilets, sewers, heating during the winter, and they even burnt alive. So once again, they underfed, they watered, they died from water poisoning. It wasn't good water. It wasn't good water conditions for them. In the winter, they didn't have heaters and stuff to keep them warm. So either it could have been a bad storm or something, so they would basically just freeze and die. So it was either body heat or freeze and die. They didn't really provide much stuff for the people to survive on, but they were so-called protecting the people from the war and stuff. So yeah. Okay, so concentration camps, internment camps, and there was this thing called sub-camps. So sub-camps. During 1942 to 1944, 100 of the sub-camps were established for concentration camps. Sub-camps were local and ordinary factories or sites for extraction of raw material. For example, a sub-camp established in 1943 was local near an airplane factory on the east side of Australia. Another example, it was established in Vietnam between a coal mine and sub camp. Prisoners interned in the land to work under the brutality conditions in underground factories and produce of rockets. So basically, sub camps was another camp for them to move to, but when they moved to sub camps, they did more work for the military. The military work they did basically increased. They were helping and stuff, but that don't mean they got paid better. I mean, they ate better, drank better, lived better, nothing. So the end of concentration camps and sub camps, they basically, the end of them was the same. They ended in 1945 because the camps were liberal and allied forces. So liberal and allied forces ended it. They came to an agreement. They were done fighting each other. They were tired of just being into it. On our works cited page, I went to a website called EJF. It's good for something, I can't remember, but it had good information and good quotes on there about the comparison and comparing and contrasting the concentration camps.
Now we're going to discuss as a group, like our slides, and come together.
So, Travis, what's the question that you get asked from your first slide?
Like, so when they were like deported, like did they have? When they were deported, did they all have to just, like, drop everything? Like, did people, like, ram into their houses? Like, how did it look when they had to leave where they stayed and stuff like that, where they came from?
So, basically, in the novel, it kind of sounded like it wasn't like that. So, first, it was like Hitler slid his way into there. It was smooth and quiet and everything. And it was just like that, boom, they had like a certain type of thing they had to do every day. So, they had to wear a star so that you would know that they were Jewish. They had to like wear certain clothes. They weren't allowed past a certain time. And then, boom, everybody just got deported. So, it was just kind of like slow down.
It seemed like, so when the girl, I mean, when they were gathering people up, it seemed like they knew it was coming, but like they wasn't prepared.
Because they didn't know what was happening.
They didn't know what was happening. They didn't know what they was preparing for, something to happen. Like, so basically, they was just leaving everything behind. They wasn't really.
Their lives, everything.
Yeah.
And then it was like, once they finally got there, they didn't even need their stuff because they weren't going to be using it. But they weren't ready for that because they didn't know. So they all just bringing bags, not knowing how many people to a cart. None of that. All right, next. So, do you have another question for your next slide?
I guess the clothing, like, was it all the same? Did everybody have to wear striped clothing? Like, was it like different types of people who had certain clothes to wear?
So, like, I guess some of the SS officers, because some of them, like, the SS officers were like Jewish, but it was either they beat the, you know, the Jewish and do what the regular officers would do, or it would be them. So basically, I guess all of them didn't have the same clothing, but majority of them, yeah.
So with my comparisons and contrasting, I was looking for the clothing and stuff that was wearing, and to me, it seemed like most of them, with the people that were quote-unquote imprisoned, they had the pajamas, the pajama looking things with the stripes on them. It wasn't really a difference that I could find between what they were wearing, but the people who were taking care of them or watching them, depending on what culture they were, they did have on different attire.
I got another question. From like what you were reading on different types of camps, did everybody had to have to get their head shaved off?
No, so basically it was like the Jewish camp was specifically to like torture and kill off Jewish people. So basically they wanted them to feel like they were nothing. So I feel like they made them strip down and then put on these like this proper attire so that everybody could know that they was like worthless or something and that they was lower than them. But what I didn't get was why they would actually put like Jewish, if they wanted to kill off all the Jewish and stuff, why they would have Jewish officers. I guess because they knew they would be harsh, because they knew that if they didn't do what they were supposed to do, like, and harm they, like, the people from their culture, they would get the same treatment.
Basically making them feel like less than they are.
Right.
I got a question about the meals. Did you find anything about, like what exactly they was fed, or like how much under a normal meal it was?
Well, they were just saying that like they basically only really had like certain eating times, but like they didn't eat no type of good food.
So it's kind of like just an appetizer.
It wasn't no good food. It wasn't nothing like out of the ordinary. It was just regular.
In the book, they was like they had bread and then like soup or something. But that was basically. But he was like in a higher rank in
the
camp.
But when they had soup, they had like a half a spoon.
And that was
a whole soup.
Right, they had a whole bunch of different camps. But that's the thing. They was like they had like just enough. So basically, it was kind of like they just were trying to make sure they was well fed until they just like
just keep them alive.
I heard it say they have a small piece of bread, a tiny piece of sausage, and stuff.
Yeah, but you got to remember, we had different camps. So basically, it's this Auschwitz was only one of like seven camps. So everyone was different. Some were treated higher than others.
I feel like they was giving it enough food to last a young adult and not a full-grown man or a full-grown woman. It was enough food to
yeah,
last
so they could kill
adult.
Them all, basically. Okay, so we're going to. Okay, so this is the second part of our project. We're going to continue where we left off. So, Travis, do you have any more questions for your section?
No, not really. I think the research answered all the questions I really had.
Okay, so what would you say if you were trying to put us in that situation?
And what type of, what do you mean?
Like, so if you were to ask this question based on the situation and the living conditions, what would it be?
If I was to ask you a question on the living.
Like, if we were in that situation.
Oh, you would. Oh, I'd be like, I mean, how do you think every day? Like, do you want to just, like, die? Like, do you like living like that? Would you rather just end it all? I mean,
For me,
like, what keeps you going? What makes you want to keep going?
Honestly, if I had family that I had to keep surviving for, then yeah, I would, you know, keep living. But if I didn't have nothing, I'd probably be depressed. So I feel like maybe I would just, you know, end it right there.
Like, what made them keep working, basically? That's all I wanted to know. Like,
maybe
what,
they thought, like, it would be a... I think they thought it would be an end soon. Like, it would end and they could make it. Because I feel like if there was me and they could choose a position, I feel like I would try to fight to the end.
I mean, I would,
everything,
but...
Everything can't keep going.
Right, you just come to an end
eventually. Right.
But mainly in the book, when Eliza was talking, it was mainly about him trying to help his dad, make sure his dad was okay.
Right.
But they weren't really living.
His dad, he was surviving.
And I feel like everybody else was just scared to die off. Like, they didn't have no more feelings, no more emotions.
It was just a whatever situation.
Right. Okay, so what I want to ask is if y'all, like, were one of the, like, in the selection that was, like, an SS officer and you knew you had to do certain things in order for you to stay alive, would you do those? Like, would you kill other people? Would you... Do you think you can have, like the strength to kill your own people?
Or I mean, in the time that they were living in, if it was to help me, I mean, I don't know, anything really could happen. Because, I mean, a lot of stuff was going on. Like, what if like, my children was on the line, or what if somebody that I knew was on the line? But, I mean, people who probably already, like, sick and is about to die probably just have to do it.
I mean, but I'm saying, like, even if your children was there, some people wouldn't know that was your children, so they would have told you just beat them.
I don't think that I don't think that I would be able to live with myself if I killed or took somebody's right. family member away from me. But back then, I don't know, I probably would have a different mindset.
Yeah, but think about it. Like, if we were back then and we were this age, and we don't know what exactly is going on. We just know that people are harming us. They harming our family. They killing us off. I mean, honestly, I couldn't hurt anybody else. I know that. But in the state of mind, I don't know what I would do in that situation. It's like, especially if I had family. Like, I probably would just ask, like, is this saving my family if I do this? Or is it helping them? But, okay, so now the Japanese camp, it wasn't as bad, but it's still, like, it wasn't like it didn't kill a lot of people anyway. So,
I feel like the Japanese camp, I feel like they had it the best.
Out of all the camps.
They were moved because they were cared about and they were took out of the position of being harmed by another country or another
Or like
religion.
People who think that they are doing something wrong.
Or they less than they culture.
Right. So, I mean, it's a better situation, but people were still killed. And, like, this wasn't documented, like, the Holocaust. So, we don't know what exactly happened. So, if they were getting beat, tortured, or anything, we wouldn't know because we were never told this. So, I mean, if it were to ever come out one day that it wasn't as good as it looks, like, I know they was relocated, but I can't see them, you know, harming kids. I just saw them, you know, getting people out the way. So, I feel like it was just a better living condition. Okay, so
I have a question. What camp would y'all rather be a part of?
That went against like a lot of laws we got now. But how would y'all feel if you knew this man had been to prison and you knew people was rooting for him, but you didn't know what his intentions were? Like, that's the thing. I don't understand how they didn't know his background and everything. And people kept saying, oh, this can't be happening. He not doing this. You know, when one of the survivors came back and was trying to tell them this happened at that camp. Like, y'all don't know this man's background. And y'all don't know, like, but I'm saying it had to spread around that he went to prison for trying to take down the government. That's where I would have been like, okay, he seemed kind of sketchy. And I probably would have investigated more. Because if he made a book in prison.
Today, I don't think right now, this time, I don't think that would be sketchy. Because we know what kind of man Donald Trump is. People trying to take him down. So what if the government was doing something wrong that a group of people felt was wrong? And they decided to take a stand for it, like people doing now today, just speaking out loud.
They weren't aware. That's the thing. Some of them weren't aware. And like when he made that book, I felt like that should have stood out, especially to like the prison guards and stuff like that. Because if this is known now, why wouldn't it made known to them? Right. Okay, so Joseph Mengele. Now, it's a lot of stuff that I didn't mention that he did, but this man, like, he didn't care about nothing but science. So, little kids, I mean, like, he just did all types of experiments. And then think about it, like, if you were a twin and like you were little and you had like family and everything, like this was like out of a selection. So they would choose the people before he even did this. They would choose the people that they would kill off, the people who would be doing the slave labor, and the children and adults who would go to this camp. If you feel like you were another physician in there, do you feel that you would ever try to help anybody? Because he was a physician that just like really didn't care.
I feel like they didn't know, like
he gained the reputation though.
I'm saying like in the beginning when he first started, he didn't know like twins and stuff. I feel like, yeah, maybe he should experiment on something, but continuing to experiment on every set and every twin or something he came off of was really cool of him. And he didn't have to, you know, take eye samples. He didn't have like certain stuff.
Like he skinned them to try to find the cause of the disease. Or like he thought that we were why we look like a little dirty and stuff like that. I mean, it's like
certain stuff he did was just like,
right. And I'm saying like other physicians might not have even known about this, but I'm pretty sure it got around. If it got around that he was the angel of death, I'm pretty sure it got around what he was doing. I'm trying to figure out why it was never known, like, why nobody else tried to help. In that situation, you got to think about that. Even though they had SS officers and stuff, it was more Jews in that camp than they could have took on, no matter how strong or how weak.
Right.
And, you know, I just keep going back to that in my head. Like, why didn't they fight back? Especially if they know about him. But that ends our podcast for today. Thank you. My name is Majayla.
My name is Travis.
And my name is Anaya.